Oh God, may the words that I speak this moment be your words only. And may our hearts that we bring this day be filled with your joy, and your love, and your peace. In Christ we pray. Amen. As some of you remember, it is my practice to have a few personal comments before I begin the sermon proper. The first thing I want to do is say how very pleased I am to be invited back to you all, to be with you all on this Easter day. I didn't say this at the early service, but I'm sure that there were some people who were wondering why I was invited back, but hopefully over time, people forget how much they disagreed or disliked me. So time does heal. But it's wonderful to be with you all, really wonderful to be with you all. The second thing is, I know this is unusual, but I want to ask a kind of a personal question. How many of you all were here on Easter in 1986? One, two, three, okay. Okay, there's not enough to change the sermon. I'm going to go ahead and go with that. I thought I would just do that. This is Easter, and it is a joyful day. And would you hear the story from the Gospel of John? You're immediately struck by the main character of the story. It's a woman. 2,000 years ago, a person of no importance, a woman, at least a second-class citizen, a woman who has the main role in John's gospel story. So that's how I want to begin. The synoptics are different. Matthew, Mark, and Luke have Mary accompanied by other women, but John highlights her. I think it's also an underlying factor of how the gospel writers have elevated the place of women at a time in a culture where that was not to be so. We hear from the gospel, but Mary stood weeping outside of the tomb. Easter day 33. Easter day as Mary saw it. I'm always intrigued by this because I wonder what she has to tell us, what we can learn from her actions, her words. John's account of Easter morn gives us a special look into this event because of Mary. You know, she was the one that goes to the grave. She looks in. She converses with the angels. And later, with Jesus himself, and then goes and announces to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." Mary, as we know, is from the village on the plains of Gennesaret, near the Sea of Galilee. It's mostly a Gentile community. And from our readings of the Gospels, we know this was a woman of influence, of means, of some wealth. We also know that she had been afflicted by seven demons, probably a nervous condition in those days. You know, for years, some people have felt that she had been a prostitute. Well, there is no evidence of that. Living with the nervous condition that she had through her adult life must have caused her great pain, emotional and spiritual, cultural, whatever. You can almost imagine, and we've known people who've dealt with emotional things all of their lives and what traumatic times they've had and they live with. And that's what she had. And Jesus healed her. He took it away. She was devoted to him after that. She was one of his most ardent disciples. This is the reason, I think, at least one of the reasons for her devotion to him and her reason for being one of his closest companions. I have some other views about why they are so close, but I can't do that in a sermon because I would be asked to leave the church. So I'll leave that to your imagination. Her devotion to Jesus and his cause is clearly underscored by her very practical service. She participated in his itinerant ministry. She contributed financially to this mission. She followed him and the disciples to Jerusalem for his final days, and she was there at the cross. And then she was the first person to go to the tomb and to see what had happened. We have heard she was that first person, the very first human to see and experience the empty tomb, to actually speak to the risen Jesus and to report back her experience and witness to the 11. You know, she literally preached the first Easter sermon, the first Christian sermon. What a wonderful drama we have here in this story in John. Mary is certainly the main character, the key figure who helps reveal a truth which transformed the world. She moves from a person whose faith in this man had been utterly destroyed 3 days before on Good Friday. She had no hope left, to one who had a more complete, a more steady faith restored that continued to grow. The last glimpse of Mary as she rushes and makes her way to the disciples and to say, "I've seen the Lord," has all the power of victorious faith. So that's a little take of what I see happening on that Easter morn from the Gospel of John. And so I think there is always some things that we can take away from that. Through the tearful eyes of Mary, what a glorious story, what a glorious news for each one of us. And as we step back from that story itself and reflect upon it and ask what it says, what it means to us, I see several things for me that jump out. First of all, and foremost, we have here the foundation of all that the Christian faith is about. Jesus is risen today. As we sang in our opening hymn, "Jesus Christ is risen today." At our baptism and in our baptismal covenant, we say, we are baptized into Christ's death, and we are baptized into his resurrection. We no longer need to fear death. It has been conquered. We will live on after our earthly life ends. We do not know what that will be like, but we know that that is true. We will live on in eternity with our risen Lord. Years ago, and I don't remember if it was here or another congregation I served, I was visiting an older lady, and I was relatively young. I was probably in my 30s or early 40s, and she may have been 50, and she was older to me at that point. And so I was visiting her in the hospital, and she was facing very serious surgery that would maybe ultimately end her life in a short time. The doctors may tell her that you don't have much longer to live. And after I took her hand and I prayed before the surgery, she looked me straight in the eye and said, "I'm not afraid of dying. I know God is looking after me and that I will be with him after my death." What a statement of faith. What an Easter statement. Her fear of death had been swallowed up in victory. "Oh, death, where is thy sting?" It is gone. It has been conquered in the resurrection, Jesus' resurrection. Scholars often remind us that the resurrection narratives in the Synoptic Gospels and in John are really commissioning stories sending believers out into the world to tell everyone that death is not the last word. Another wonderful insight for me that I gained from Mary as she walks through the early morning hours of that first Easter day are found, strangely enough, in her face, in her tears, in her emotions. Remember, Mary did not see Jesus at first. She did not recognize him. And I really believe that she couldn't see him very well because she had been crying over his death and the loss. And she was consumed in her own grief and her own sorrow. I don't know about you, but I can think of times in my life when I have been consumed by my own grief or loss, and I couldn't see anything or see anyone or feel anything other than me. It was all about me, and that's, I think, where Mary was. I don't think she was so consumed in her great loss that she could not see anything or hear anything. Well, John, the author of this story, would have us do, let's look at another level of meaning. John always has more than one meaning in his stories, and there's another level here, a more spiritual, deeper level. There are times in life when we do not recognize the Christ in our world. Could be that we're preoccupied with self. As Mary was. She was caught up in her own grief, her own personal loss. We too, like Mary, get caught up in our own grief, our own special place in life, our own needs, our own selfishness and pride. We miss seeing and experiencing Christ when we get in the way. In my own life, there have been those times, as I said, that I've been consumed with those needs and sorrows and joys and problems. I can't see any other person. Yet, when I look around, sometimes through tearful eyes, I realize there is the Christ. The Christ standing next to me. The Christ in another person who is there holding my hand, who has their hand on my shoulder, who is praying with me. The Christ is there in a group of loving and caring sisters and brothers. So Mary went weeping, searching for a dead Jesus, and lo and behold, she found a living presence. We too can do the same when we look beyond ourselves. Another thought I've had as I think about Easter through Mary, the late Arthur Gossip, one of Scotland's great preachers of the last century, states two things that I think are important about Mary. For all her searching, it was not Mary Magdalene who came to Jesus, but Christ who found her. And although she was seeking him with her whole being, Mary did not recognize Christ when she saw him. On the first observation, Mary was simply looking for Jesus' body to complete the burial preparation because we know it was hastily done because of the oncoming Sabbath. She was standing around the grave weeping, and it was Jesus who came to her, addressed her, engaged her in conversation. She was standing around. He approached her. Remember the parable of the lost coin? The silver piece is dropped and lost, and it could not call out or roll around and say, "Here I am, here I am, here I am." Yet, hands were seeking it, drawing nearer and nearer until it was found. Whose hands? Those were Christ's hands. For me personally, the comforting thing about this truth of the resurrection story is that Christ is seeking me. He is seeking you, even in my greatest despair, in my greatest grief, in my greatest confusion, in my greatest abandonment of him. Jesus is there seeking me. And for me, the final important thing of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is that it defines once and for all who God is. God is personal, responsive, a shaping agent of history, forgiving, compassionate, healing, and in the end, just and loving. The resurrection stories that this is the nature and reality, making it necessary for those who hear about it to decide whether they want to live in reality or not. The reality that God is just and loving and caring and compassionate or not. And as we have looked through the eyes of Mary, we have seen in this story, through the resurrection, death is conquered. We can become so concerned with ourselves that we cannot see the Christ in others. This resurrected Jesus is always seeking you and me, seeking us out, as he did Mary. And finally, the resurrection tells us who God is in clear and concrete terms. So as you and I go forth this day into the world, not unlike Mary, let us with confidence join her as we say, I have seen the Lord, he is alive, alive here and alive in my life. I want to conclude with a brief quote from the book Forward Movement put out, and hopefully y'all read it, the Forward Movement Lenten series called Meeting Jesus on the Margins. And this is a little quote from today's passage. He conquered death. He came out of the empty tomb to walk with us, to teach us, and to urge us to help others, to be companions on the journey, and to see and to celebrate the living Christ in all. Your table and your life be a living witness and foretaste of the heavenly banquet. Alleluia, alleluia. Amen.